Let's read together Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 through 12. In this chapter, we have the blessing of Moses on the tribes of Israel, and here in the first 12 verses of the chapter, we have his blessing pronounced on Reuben, on Judah, on Levi, and on Benjamin. Let's begin by reading the first 5 verses. Deuteronomy chapter 33, beginning with verse 1. Now this is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. And he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. Moses commanded a law for us, a heritage of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the leaders of the people were gathered, all the tribes of Israel together. Let's begin our study of this first half of Deuteronomy chapter 33 with some background notes. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, we had the song of Moses, and now here in chapter 33, we have the blessing of Moses. After the song of Moses in chapter 32, Moses was told by the Lord to ascend Mount Nebo and view the land, and there Moses would die on Mount Nebo and be gathered to his people, an expression for a peaceful death. So in line with the culture of that day, as a father would give a blessing to his children before he died, so Moses, who was like a father to the children of Israel, gave his blessing to the tribes of Israel before he died. In that day, a father's final blessings were looked on as binding, like a legal will. And so in this inspired blessing of Moses on the tribes of Israel, we have both blessing and prophecy. In fact, some of the blessings pronounced still await to be completely fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled when the Lord returns and the nation of Israel is restored, not only to the land, but also to the Lord. In that day, the various tribes of Israel will again have a territory in the land of Israel and be blessed of the Lord. Read Ezekiel chapter 48 in this connection. In Genesis 49, we had the blessing of Jacob on his sons, who would become the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. In Genesis chapter 49, verse 1, we read, And Jacob called his sons and said, Gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. So both Jacob's blessing of Israel in Genesis chapter 49 and Moses' blessing of Israel here in Deuteronomy chapter 33 have some predictions that carry on right to the time of the end. Now there are several interpretations of verse 2 here in Deuteronomy chapter 33. The Lord came from Sinai, and dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand came a fiery law for them. One interpretation of this verse is that the Lord is seen here as guiding his people from Mount Sinai, where the law was given, in association with lightning and angels, and then moving on with his people past Seir, or Edom, and also Mount Paran, and on to the Promised Land. Another interpretation is that this language is figurative and pictures the Lord shining on Israel as the morning sun would dawn on Mount Sinai, rising up over the mountains of Seir and Mount Paran to the northeast. Another interpretation, which I tend to favor, is that this is a vision that Moses had of the Lord in his care and concern for Israel all the way from Mount Sinai until the return of the Lord, assuring Moses that all the prophetic aspects of his blessing on the tribes of Israel would be fulfilled. We have that same thought of the return of the Lord in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Let me read those verses. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand, and there his power was hidden. From Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Also, the Lord is seen as returning from the east in both the prophetic passages of Isaiah 63 and Ezekiel chapter 43. In this view, then, the holy ones that the Lord loves in verse 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 33 are not just the Jewish people of Moses' day, but all believers when the Lord returns. They have followed in his steps and received his word. Now in verses 4 and 5, we go back to Moses, the man God used to communicate the law to the children of Israel and lead the children of Israel as a king in Yeshurun, that is, the upright children of Israel in the early days. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching point for Deuteronomy chapter 33. The blessings of Moses on the tribes of Israel are both past and future. The blessings of Moses on the tribes of Israel are both past and future. In verse 6, we have the blessing on Reuben. So for your outlines, we could go A, the blessing on Reuben. So in verse 6, we have the blessing on Reuben. Let Reuben live and not die, nor let his men be few. The tribe of Reuben was located on the east side of the Jordan River and thus more exposed and vulnerable to enemy attacks than those tribes on the west side of the Jordan River. Therefore, the prayer of Moses is that the tribe of Reuben would not be wiped out and not become extinct in view of this danger of being more exposed on the east side of the Jordan River. In verse 7, we have the blessing on Judah. So B, the blessing on Judah, verse 7. And this he said of Judah, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him to his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and may you be a help against his enemies. Moses' prayer is that Judah would be successful in their leadership role and be militarily strong. Think of Caleb's military success in conquering the mountain that was in enemy hands. This was in the tribal area of Judah. The Messiah, of course, would come from the tribe of Judah, and he would lead and restore God's people and defeat all their enemies. Now, there is no special blessing pronounced on Simeon in this chapter, but we know from Joshua chapter 19 that the tribe of Simeon was included in the territory of Judah. In verses 8 through 11, we have the blessing on Levi. So C, letter C, right? The blessing on Levi, verses 8 through 11. And of Levi, he said, let your Thummim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah, and with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah, who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers, or know his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your commandment. They shall teach Jacob your judgments and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and of those who hate him, that they rise not again. The Urim and Thummim, verse 8, were used by the priests who were of the tribe of Levi to determine God's will for the people. Verse 8, and of Levi he said, let your Thummim and your Urim be with your Holy One, whom you tested at Massah, and with whom you contended at the waters of Meribah. Moses and Aaron, as Levites, represented the tribe of Levi when it was tested at the waters of Massah and Meribah. The tribe of Levi proved faithful at the incident of the idolatry of the golden calf. They are commended here in verse 9 for putting the Lord and his word first, even before family members who were involved in idolatry. Verse 9, who says of his father and mother, I have not seen them, nor did he acknowledge his brothers, or know his own children, for they have observed your word and kept your commandment. In verse 10, we see the special privileges and responsibilities of the tribe of Levi as servants of the Lord, to teach God's word and lead God's people in worship. What a great privilege that is today for God's servants. They shall teach Jacob your judgments and Israel your law. They shall put incense before you and a whole burnt sacrifice on your altar. We see in verse 11 that servants of the Lord are special targets of those who hate to submit to the spiritual and moral values and standards of Scripture. This is certainly true today. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and of those who hate him, that they rise not again. Thus, in verse 11, part of the blessing on Levi is that those who hate the servants of the Lord would be put down and not be able to propagate and hinder the work of the Lord. Let's read that verse once again. Bless his substance, Lord, and accept the work of his hands. Strike the loins of those who rise against him and of those who hate him, that they rise not again. Why this special hatred for the Levites? Because they are God's special servants. And they are involved, as we see in verse 10, in teaching the law, in teaching the word. And so the same holds true today. Servants of the Lord, especially those who are preaching and teaching God's word, are special targets of the enemy. In verse 12, we have the blessing on Benjamin. So D, the blessing on Benjamin, verse 12. Of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, who shelters him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. The blessing of Benjamin was to be loved by the Lord and in close fellowship with the Lord, dwelling between the shoulders of God in that special place of strength and protection, reflects the fact that the Lord chose Jerusalem in the territory of Benjamin as his special city, and there he would place his temple. Earthly Jerusalem is God's special city forever. So the blessings of Moses on the tribes of Israel are both past and future. Now, what about practical application for this first half of Deuteronomy chapter 33? Make your last days count for the Lord. Make your last days count for the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting, that I may inaugurate him. So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of meeting. The important part of this verse for this practical application is that first part. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 14, the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Now, if the Lord said that to you, what would you do? Would you cry? Would you be bitter? Would you beg for more life? Would you just sit around and wait to die? Or would you be like Moses and make your last days count for the Lord? In these last days of Moses, he transferred the leadership of Israel to Joshua. He wrote a great song filled with theological content for Israel to memorize and sing. And Moses gave a special blessing to each of the tribes of Israel. Wow! Moses stayed busy for the Lord right up to the day of his death. What a lesson for us. Now, we may be limited in a number of ways as we near death, but we can always do something for the Lord. Older believers make great prayer warriors, for example. Make your last days count for the Lord.